Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. What surfaced on Thanksgiving Day has disappeared even faster than the turkey leftovers. In the face of accusations of callousness and of punishing twice the victims of Reaganomics from Democrats and union officials, the administration has quickly backed down on a proposal to tax unemployment benefits. Deborah Potter with the presidential party in Santa Barbara has the latest.
Administration officials moved quickly to control the potential damage, saying the idea had never been formally presented to the president. And these officials say when the president heard about it through news reports, he put out the word that it wasn't the kind of thing he could go for. The turnaround came just a few hours after White House Counselor Edwin Meese publicly defended the proposal as a valid way of encouraging the unemployed to look for work. Meese said that most people are quick to find jobs after their benefits expire. Sources say that soon after that comment was made, the president spoke with Meese and apparently told him that wasn't what he had in mind. The proposal then died a quick death. But there is no doubt that it's already been embarrassing to the president. Privately, administration officials concede it may have set back their effort to counter criticism that Mr. Reagan doesn't care about the poor and the unemployed. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Santa Barbara.
The president is expected to touch on the economy in his Saturday radio address today. Last evening, from his mountaintop ranch, he called by Trans-Pacific telephone to congratulate Japan's new Prime Minister Yasuhiro Nakasone and invite him to Washington. Nakasone has run into his own quick political problems at home, as Gordon Joseloff reports.
Emperor Hirohito officially installed Nakasone as Prime Minister at a morning ceremony at the Imperial Palace. The ceremony had been scheduled to take place last night, but it was delayed by lengthy intra-party wrangling over filling cabinet posts. So-called non-mainstream factions of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party have complained that Nakasone packed his cabinet with supporters of former Prime Minister Kakuei Tanaka. Tanaka is still very much a party kingmaker, despite his indictment for allegedly accepting bribes in the Lockheed payoff scandal. Japanese newspaper editorials echo the complaints, saying the cabinet appears to be under Tanaka's direct influence. But the new prime minister rejected the charges. He told reporters he picked the ministers by putting priority on their working ability, and he hopes the people will judge them by their accomplishments. The prime minister said afterward he looks forward to visiting Washington soon. Asked by a reporter about U.S. pressure on Japan to increase defense spending, Nakasone said he doesn't think there is such pressure, and besides, it's up to Japan to defend itself on its own. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
At his first cabinet meeting, Nakasone's first act was to slash cabinet salaries by 10% as a symbolic budget-cutting gesture. The sticking point was international inspection to safeguard fuel use, and it's not clear whether the French gave on that point today. But as French President Mitterrand arrived in India for an official visit, France announced agreement on supplying nuclear fuel for India's power reactor. David Andelman has more from Paris.
The details of the agreement are still sketchy, but it would appear that France is now prepared to take up where the Carter administration left off 4 years ago, supplying nuclear fuel for the Tarapur nuclear reactor, despite India's failure to ratify the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. French officials claim that they have received adequate assurances that spent fuel from the Tarapur reactor will not be reprocessed into weapons-grade plutonium for an Indian atomic bomb. But speculation in Paris involves two more compelling reasons for the sale. First, India has agreed to buy 40 advanced Mirage 2000 jet fighters at a cost of some $3 billion and negotiate the production under license of 100 more. Second, the sale of the Mirages and the nuclear fuel to India prevents India from turning to the Soviet Union as a supplier with all the political strings that would inevitably be attached to such a deal. And, of course, at the start of a major summit conference today between Indira Gandhi and French President François Mitterrand, the accord is at once a clear boost to French prestige in the non-aligned world and a direct challenge to the United States, which now supplies neither planes nor fuel to India. David Andelman, CBS News, Paris.
At the meeting of free world trade ministers in Geneva, agreement to at least hold the line against world protectionism teeters in the balance today, with disagreement still apparent on what was to be the final day of the session. Dan Revive has more from our London listening post.
Two basic divisions became, if anything, more bitter at the World Trade Conference. The United States is in a dispute with its Western European allies, demanding that the European community phase out its farm subsidies so American agricultural exports can compete. The second major split has the United States and the Europeans in dispute with the developing countries, the so-called Third World. The rich industrialized nations want measures to increase trade in service industries, such as insurance and banking. But in exchange, the Third World wanted an end to protectionism. Easy access, that is, to European and American markets. Nobody's getting what they want. Products made in the USA will not be easier to sell abroad. U.S. Trade Representative Bill Brock has warned that Congress is likely to retaliate with measures making it harder for foreign goods to enter the U.S. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
In Cairo, the younger brother of the late Egyptian President Anwar Sadat was put on trial today on charges of corruption and abuse of influence.
Introducing the wedge-shaped Nissan Pulsar NX, a sporty new car at your Datsun dealer.
You're gonna love the way it says, take me out and play.
The front-wheel drive Nissan Pulsar NX costs half as much as it looks.
I want one.
Retractable headlights.
I want one.
Five-speed performance that deserves a checkered flag. And mileage? How about an EPA estimated 35 mpg, 52 highway? Use 35 for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway lower. The Nissan Pulsar NX. We just bet you're gonna want one.
It's at your Datsun dealer now. The Nissan Pulsar NX. Wow! Hey, we bet you're gonna want one.
The Nissan Pulsar NX.
Betcha.
See the sporty new Nissan Pulsar NX at your Datsun dealer now.
The last time the Ku Klux Klan marched in Washington in 1925, it drew 35,000 participants. Today, the announced protest target is again immigration. But the numbers, reports Jane Miller, are expected to be far fewer.
Fewer than 100 Klansmen are expected to march from the Capitol to the White House today, the first time the Klan has demonstrated the nation's capital in 57 years. But anti-Klan leaders say the rally will draw thousands of protesters. Washington's police chief predicts the rally will evoke, in his words, a great deal of animosity. He is asking the public to ignore the demonstration entirely. 300 police officers are assigned to the mile-long route the Klan march will take. Counter-demonstrations are planned by a mix of labor, civic, and black organizations. All claim their protests will be orderly. But the leader of one anti-Klan group says there are a lot of angry people who see today's march on Washington as a step the Klan is taking to increase its numbers and influence nationwide. Jane Miller, CBS News, Washington.
The National Weather Service reports the loss of a valuable tool in helping to predict winter weather. One of the two stationary satellites observing weather conditions from 22,000 miles up has gone out. It is the satellite that scans the weather from the Pacific coast westward, where winter conditions tend to form. The satellite went out Thursday night, fortunately not before it helped warn of the approach of Hurricane Iwa to Hawaii. A solar flare detected on Thanksgiving Day is expected to make northern lights visible tomorrow night in some northern states, according to the National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration. The aurora borealis should be visible, it says, in such states as New York, North Dakota, and Montana. For the week, the Dow Jones average dropped 13 points, but there was a slight comeback in yesterday's light trading, a sign of hope to some, reports Ray Brady.
Some analysts saw the fact that the market could wind up the week a winner as a sign that it may be ready to start moving sharply upward again, a feeling that marks a major change from the beginning of the week when the market turned soft and stock prices took a clobbering. Reports that automobile sales had turned up in the latest sales period helped the stocks of the automakers yesterday, with Chrysler, Ford, and General Motors all rising in price. Still, investors buy gold and gold stocks when they are concerned about the future. And as a sign all's not right with the world, the gold stocks were the outstanding gainers on the big board, many individual issues rising by 1, 2, or 3 points. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
In Toronto, weekend work on a Canadian auto strike that has idled nearly 5,000 U.S. workers as well. Dave Gullison of News Radio Toronto reports.
Chrysler Canada says it might be able to start talking wage issues with Canadian UAW officials by next week. But first, the company says the two sides will work in Toronto today and Sunday to resolve non-economic questions like health and safety. Some 10,000 Canadian auto workers from six plants in Ontario have been off the job 23 days now in a dispute over Chrysler's refusal to grant immediate pay raises. While some local issues have been settled since talks resumed Monday, progress apparently has been slow, although a Chrysler public relations official said the company remains optimistic of a settlement since both sides are still talking. Dave Gullison for CBS News, Toronto.
Chrysler's been saying it can't afford a major pay hike either in Canada or the U.S. U.S. contract talks resume on Monday after a Thanksgiving recess.